Hey, Shalom Aleichem. This year is dedicated to the Refuah Shleima, particularly of Dvorah Bas Erika and Orly Eleonor Bas Natalie Nadine. So Shar Chol Yisrael. There's a long list of people, but in particular these two people today, Bezer Hashem, Shairo, Refuah Shleima, Sok Shar Chol Yisrael. Okay, this week is the parsha that discusses the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There's a point to ponder here that needs to be understood, and let's take a look. We'll start first of all. For a bit different, we'll start with the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shulchan Aruch is in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin. Yoredeya. And it's entitled La'eza Averos Yehareg Val Yavor. Upon which mitzvahs is a person commanded to allow himself to be killed rather than to transgress the mitzvah. So we're not going to read the entire Sif, that the first Sif in this Siman, right, the first paragraph in this entire the chapter is very long. We'll just choose a few parts. It says, Kol ha'aveira shiva Torah, all the aveiras in the Torah, chutz me'avodas kachovim v'gili arayas v'shvichas adomim, all the aveiras in the Torah other than idolatry, adultery, and shvichas adomim, and the shedding of blood. By adultery, it doesn't mean just specific adultery, but all isurim of arayas, right, which involve illicit relationships of one sort or another, and shvichas dam, obviously murder. Imam lola adam shiavor aleim o yahareg. If a person finds himself in a situation where those who come to him and say, either you do this following aveira, either you commit idolatry, or you commit adultery, or as we said before, not just adultery, but any illicit sexual relationships of the Torah, or murder, you murder this person, or else we're going to murder you, right? Well, that's a choice. If you don't do this, then your life is forfeit. The din is, she harig val yavor, right? All aveiras other than those three, the din is, right, she yavor v'lo yaharig. In other words, for these cardinal sins, a person has to forfeit his life. For all other mitzvos of the Torah, right, a person's life is more precious, as we'll see in a moment, and he transgresses the Torah rather than forfeiting his life. Imu b'tzina, ya'avor v'al yaharis. But the Shulchan Aruch adds, though, this is only if it's in private. Im yirtz l'hachmir al atzvo l'harig rashai. This is a discussion. Does a person have the right? The Shulchan Aruch is going to differentiate for us between mitzvahs other than the three cardinal sins. The three cardinal sins, it makes no difference where you are, public, private, what the intention of the person who's coming to you to try and force you to commit these sins one way or the other. Doesn't make any difference if he's doing it for his own personal pleasure, if he's doing it in order to get you to to relinquish your hold on the religion. It makes no difference. Your life is forfeit. With all regard to other aveiras, so it depends. If we are talking about where the person who is doing the forcing is doing it because he has some personal benefit. In other words, someone comes to, let's say, this is something that could have taken place very easily during the war, and not just during the war, other times as well, put a gun to your head. Unless you plow my field on Shabbos, Mr. Jew here, I'm going to give you an extra orifice in your head. I want my field plowed by the end of Saturday, and if it's not done, then you're finished. So this case over here, the intention is not for a spiritual coercion for the sake of the spiritual coercion, but rather it's here for personal monetary gain. In such a case, it makes no difference whether the person is being forced to do this in public, in front of a quorum, 10 Jews, or whether it's being done in private. It's irrelevant. He just does the Aveira, because his soul is more precious than the maintenance of this particular mitzvah, even though Shabbos, which is extremely, extremely severe, transgressing Shabbos. But since it will be at the cost of his life, and the intention of the person who is forcing him is for monetary or personal gain, and not because he's trying to show that there's no mitzvah, this person is going to be forced to transgress the mitzvah, he wants to do that. That's not the issue. The issue is just he has some personal gain that he's interested in receiving. So in that case, you transgress. If, however, right, the Shulchan continues, if, however, the person is being forced in public, in other words, a quorum, minion of Jews knows that this person sees, knows this person is being, is forcing this Jew to commit this aveira, and it's not for personal gain, but it's rather to show you're not going to keep those mitzvahs, I'm not going to let you keep those mitzvahs. You either stop keeping your mitzvahs, either you stop fulfilling the Jewish law, or I'm going to kill you. If it is done in public, then one has to forfeit one's life. That's called, right, Chil Hashem and Mikdashti, right, Mitzvot B'nai Yisrael, right? The mitzvah is to, what do you call it, to profane Hashem's name, and on the other hand, v'nikdashim misok b'nei Yisrael, to sanctify Hashem's name in the midst of the Jewish people. If it's in private, even though he's being forced, so that the Shulchan Aruch says that since it's in private, so if he wants to, he can transgress. If he wants to be machmir upon himself and be willing to forfeit his life, he's allowed to do that. This is a big discussion. The Rambam holds you're not allowed to do it if you don't have to do it. That's, you know, not our point at the moment to discuss the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Bali Tosas. Right? Again, the Bali Tosas say that if the person is forcing you to be over this Aveira because he wants you to transgress the Aveira, if it's being done in public, everyone agrees, right? In other words, if there's a minion of men there, everyone agrees. Everybody says that you are mechuyev to forfeit your life. If it's being done in private and no one knows about it, so then you don't have to, according to the Bali Tosas, but you can if you want to forfeit your life. Or, according to the Rambam, a different opinion is that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to forfeit your life. Okay. And if it is a time of shmad, in other words, in general, it's not just this one individual is trying to force this one poor Jew to forsake the Torah, but rather it is a time when there is an active effort on the part of the authorities to try and keep Jews from keeping mitzvos. So then the din is that even in private, on even the smallest thing, right, God, one is mechuyev to be moser nefesh, to forfeit his life. Fine. We need to understand this why, because last week, in last week's parsha, it says, "Es mishpatai tasu v'schukosai tishmru l'aleches v'hem." Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Keep my statutes, keep my, what do you call, my laws. Right? I am the Lord your God. Ushmartim ischak chukosai v'smishatai ashetai yaseo sama adam v'chai b'hem. And you shall guard, right, my statutes, my laws, etc., that I have given you to do them, v'chai b'hem. You shall live by them, v'chai b'hem. So Rashi says, on v'chai b'hem, la'olam haba, you will live through your fulfillment of the laws and the edicts of the Torah to Olam Haba. Why? Says Rashi, see, that's the pshat over here. Shim Tomer, Olam Hazeh, if we were talking about Olam Hazeh, Valo Sofu Meis, it's not, you will live by this, you're not going to live forever, right? You're not going to live forever, but Olam Haba, you will. So therefore, Chai Behem is referring to Olam Haba. This is the way you should conduct yourself, Chai Behem. That's where Rashi explains the Mikra here in the Chumash. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, on Daf Ayin Dalet, so that basically addresses what we saw before in the Shulchan Aruch. What are the cases, right, which a person does transgress, doesn't transgress, and it starts off with the idea that under normal circumstances, one does not forfeit one's life, one, on the other hand, on the contrary, must protect one's life if they are forcing you to be over an aveira. And it, let's say, it's that's for per, not for It's not for force us to forsake our observance, but rather because they have personal monetary gain that they want to gain from our let's say our Chil Shabbos, plowing their field, etc. One has to, as it were, right, transgress. Everybody agrees over there. Why? B'chai b'hem. You shall live by them. Right? And Rashi explains, not necessarily in Yuma, but he explains, and not necessarily in Sanhedrin, but in Yuma, he explains, what is b'chai b'hem, says Rashi. B'chai b'hem v'lo shiel, must be, you shall live by the mitzvah, shall not die. Tamo shall double the fisher, chaviva nafshon she'israel, because the Jewish soul is more precious to Hashem, l'fnehem mokom yosem in a mitzvah. So it's clear that the Jewish soul is more precious than mitzvahs. Amar kash b'ch, tibatel a mitzvah, yichyezeh. Negate, right, transgress the what do you call it, the prohibition, it's okay, right, let this person live because the soul is more precious than the mitzvah. Okay. How this fits exactly with what Rashi said in the Chumash, that v'chai v'hem, he wants to say, you shall live for Olam Haba, right? Okay, Rashi could say within the Chumash is explaining the Mikra, the recall to the Pesukim, and the here in the Gemara, he's explaining the drash of Chazal, the Chai Behem, Yom Loshiyam, Mosbem. Okay, perhaps, or perhaps there's more there. Now we come to our Parsha. That was all last week's Parsha. Right? Nachrimos Kedoshim. Now we come to our Parsha. Our Parsha is Parsha Zemor. And what does it say? Shmarti mitzvosai vasisim osamani Hashem, velosichal loshem kachi, you shall not profane. Right? My Oli David Ikdashti besok b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem mikadishchem. Right, was chalu, was Rashi, you shall not profane my name, right? Says Rashi, lavor al dvorai mezidim. Interesting. Rashi says, in other words, what you call the, in the Gemara we know that the lo sechalu ishem kodshi is going on the idea that when you have a situation which requires you to forfeit your life rather than transgress the particular east that's in front of you, if you don't do that, you have, as it were, you've been mechal shem shemayim. But Rashi says that chil Hashem is also when you do an avera b'mezid. You're not only are you transgressing the Avera, there are lots of ways that a person can do an Avera. He can do it by mistake, he can do it on purpose. When he does it on purpose, right, malice aforethought, I'm doing this Avera, right? So not only has he transgressed the Avera, but he's also created a Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem, why? Because he's showing, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to you, Hashem. I don't want this to do. I don't believe you're there, whatever, God forbid, whatever crazy idea comes into his mind. So there's the Avera itself, and there is, what do you call it, there is, in addition to the Avera itself, there's also the profanation of Hashem's name. Rashi continues. Matam lo v'nikdashti, so after you've said already, lo sechala, what's v'nikdashti, masur atzvacha v'kadeshmi, forfeit your life, and in that way sanctify my name, says Hashem. Then he goes through some of the dinim you'd think about, so in private only, in public, da-da-da-da. Rashi, in addition, says, right, that if you're Moser Nefesh, right, if you're Moser Nefesh, you should be Moser Nefesh under the assumption that you're not going to be saved. In other words, Rashi says, what he called on Mikdashti, Mesor Nafshach of Kadeshimi, forfeit your life and that way sanctify my name, Yochel B'Yochel, you would think, what he called it, even if he's in private, no one's forcing him, etc. Tamalu B'Soch B'nei Israel, right? Only the Jewish people know. Keshehu Moser Atzo Yimser Atzo Almanas Lamus. When a person is forfeiting his life, he shouldn't say, okay, I'm going to do this and God's going to do a miracle for me. No. You should know that, what he called it, you are willing to give up, right? Your life, literally, your life will be taken rather than, right? Rather than you're transgressing this particular mitzvah or whatever the case may be. Right? And you have to, what do you call it? You have to do it with the knowledge that I'm going to die. Not with, I'll do this and then God will save me. And the Gurari explains why. Because in order to be saved, you have to be on a higher plane. That higher plane is you've made yourself a kadosh, you've made yourself a holy person. Through doing v'nikdashti, through saying, I'm going to forfeit my life, and I'm willing to forfeit my life, and I have no expectations of a nes, the person elevates himself to being a kadosh, to being on a different plane. And then indeed, right, perhaps, right, the Rosh Hashanah will indeed save him. But if he's doing it with the understanding that, you know, I'm waiting for the ice cream and cake to come, right? After I say I'm willing to be moser nefesh, or I shouldn't say ice cream and cake, but I'm willing to be moser nefesh, what do you call it, because I know that God's going to do a miracle for me, then one does not become a kadosh. One's still attached to this world. One has to be willing to detach himself from this world. That all of this world is not worth, right, staying alive if I have to profane Hashem's name. I've mentioned this idea a little bit in passing, but I think it will become clear now as we see the bracha of Slach Lanu in Shmoneh Esrei. It says, Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu Mechal Lanu Malkeinu Ki Pashanu. We have two different motifs being mentioned in the bracha. We have the motif of Avinu and Chatanu, or Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu, and we have Mechal Lanu Malkeinu Ki Pashanu. We speak about Kadosh Baruch Hu both as being a father and as being a king, as being a father and a king, father and a king. The slicha ostensibly refers to the sin itself, and the mechila, where we talk about mechila, be mochil yakovod, mechila, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu mechal lanu, mechila is where there's an affront to someone's kavod. So in the context of the sin itself, we talk about ourselves as Kadosh Baruch Hu's son, his children, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, that's on the sin itself, and we affront his kavod, we say mechal lanu malkeinu ki foshanu, forgive us for the affront to your kavod, O our king, for we have committed, what you call a sin, with malice aforethought. Chatanu, right, and pashanu, av, melech, right, etc. Fine. We see from this, right, and this is, I think, is hopefully going to explain our situation a little bit for us. Right? We don't really understand. If there's a mitzvah of Chai B'Hem, and Rashi told us that the understanding of Chai B'Hem is that the life of a Jew is more precious than the mitzvah, so where do we come off saying that, no, that's not true. That Hikdashti. Hikdashti, I mean, by the three cardinal sins, okay, it could be that in general the mitzvahs, etc., are less precious than the Jewish soul. Three cardinal sins, because of severity, etc. Right, we say whatever you want. We call it that there, the Jewish soul is not as precious as that. We call these three cardinal sins. But here, when we're talking about the Hikdashti, we're not just talking about the three cardinal sins. We're talking about even something very small. But if it's in public, and 10 Jews are seeing this, then what he called one has to be, as long as the non-Jew was forcing the Jew over here to transgress, he's not doing it for personal monetary gain, but he's doing it in order to make sure he doesn't keep the mitzvah. So what he called the Shiva over the Aveira, so, and there's 10 people there, the Jew has to forfeit his life. I don't understand. I thought the mitzvah was less precious than the Jewish soul. But if we get into this world over here, we realize that our relationship with Hashem is twofold. There are the mitzvahs themselves. We have responsibility to keep those mitzvahs. It's incumbent upon us. And in addition, there is the broad connection of us to Hashem. We recognize He is our King. When it comes to the issue of the individual mitzvahs, so then in the normal circumstances, unless we're talking about the three cardinal sins, the Jewish soul is more precious. Why? I dare say, and we'll see this later, I think also, right? Because it's the Jewish soul has the capacity to be behind many mitzvahs. So for the sake of one mitzvah, to lose the Jewish soul, which has the capacity, right, to keep so many mitzvahs over so many years, etc., right? Because of that, there's no record. Don't transgress. I mean, don't forfeit your life. But the second issue, there's an issue of declaring that Hashem is not our king. Right? It's just like we said before, that an avera mazid is a kiyum chilul Hashem. Why? Because he's showing there's no king. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want. But same token also, when a Jew is being forced, right? Albeit he's being forced, but through this act of forcing, we can't attribute the act to him because he's being forced. He's an onus. But nonetheless, he unwillingly is becoming a participant is showing that the power of the Gentile over here who is forcing him is greater than the power of Hashem. Hashem's dominion isn't worth it. Then yes, he goes to Nefesh. Not because of the mitzvah per se, but because of the desecration of Hashem's name. So that's why, that's this idea that we say, there is both a relationship of the, in the world of sin, there's the sin itself, and there is the affront to Hashem's kavod. We use that idea from Slachlanu Avinu Kivatanu, Makalanu Malkinu Kivashanu, and I think that's applicable over here. That is why. It's not because of the mitzvah per se, but because it's the affront to Hashem's kavod. You're not going to keep this mitzvah, you Jew, you filthy Jew, as it's usually prefaced. This idea of the relationship of Klal Yisrael, both in the individual acts of Kiyum Mitzvah and the global connection of the Jewish people to Hashem, is all witnessed in a different fashion over here in Tehillim. In Tehillim it says, in Perek Ayin Tes, it says, we're talking about those of the Jewish people who are being killed, God forbid, right, caught by the idolaters as they destroy Yerushalayim. And it says, Nasnu es nivlas avadecha, they have given over the dead bodies of your servants, machal ofa shamayim, to be carrion upon which the birds of the heavens will feed upon. Besar chasidecha l'chai so'aretz, and the flesh of your holy ones is now being given over to the animals of the field. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, who are we talking about over here? Who are the avadecha, nasnus nivlas avadecha, and then who are the chasidecha? Especially since, there are other psukim like this, of this nature in Yirmiyahu, and they're clearly talking about people who are over averus. As we'll see in just a moment, the Radak from Yirmiyahu, Perikei, Pasuk Aleph. Who are these people? So says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Teda, we're on top of page 2. Teda, Rechsiv, Mizmel, Osav, Elokim, Bo, Goy, Menach, Lasecha, Timu, Eseichal, Kotchecha. Nosnu, Es, Nivlas, Avadecha, Machal, Ofa, Shamayim. Besar, Chasidech, Lechai, Soaretz, Maya, Avadecha, Mach, Chasidech. What's the difference between Avadim, the servants of Hashem, and the Chasidim, those who are excelling in mitzvos? Aren't they also servants of Hashem? Says the Gemara. He says, Avadecha, Henech, De Mechai, Veidinim, Ikora. A person may have been chayiv misa for the averus he committed. We're not talking about choir boys over here. We're talking about people who are over averus and they were worthy of being executed. But the non-Jews who invaded Yerushalayim killed them. Came the iktol kori l'avadecha, that they become avadim. Through their death, they become avadim. The Hasidim were those who always excelled in mitzvahs. Who the Avadim? Those are people who weren't worthy to be called servants of Hashem prior to being killed because they were Jews. Because, willy-nilly, right, they were killed because they were Jews. But it showed that there is a Jewish people. And that the nations of the world rise up against this Jewish people. They want to kill the Jews. See, even though this person may not have gone to his death willingly, but Hashgach arranged, divine providence arranged that he should be, right, in a willy-nilly fashion, he should be a participant in revealing that there's a Jewish people that a lot of other people hate. But it reminds us that there is a Jewish people who march to the beat of Hashem's drum. Fascinating. The Radak in Yirmiyo, right? It says, Kevin Shener Golide Oivim, Afa Pishayu Rashayim. These are people who were Rashayim before. They deserved an onish. But because they're killed by the enemies of Klal Yisrael, because they're Jews, Niskaperlem Bimisasim, the Kori of Adecha. Right? They're cleansed. And they're called the Avdei Hashem. They may not be Chasidim, it's true, the Radak says they're even called Chasidecha. I mean, Masber, the Psukim here, where the Gemara told us very clearly that the Chasidim are only those who were unique before being killed by the Goyim. So these two systems are two completely different things. Chai Behem, for the individual mitzvah, don't keep the mitzvah. keep your life. The life is more precious. You can do more mitzvahs. But we're coming, as it were, to destroy the fabric, right? Not just the non-fulfillment of one mitzvah, but to destroy the fabric of showing that Hashem is our king and that he guides us and that we march the beat of a different drummer. Hari Val Yavar. If it's in public. If it's not in public, so we said, it's machlokas. Is it mutter or is it aser? According to Rambam, it's aser. According to Balitosis, it's mutter. But the chiyuv there isn't. And as if you can instruct a public, just like you can say Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, right? A davershik kedusha can be said in front of a minion, so too this is a davershik kedusha. The minion is aware that you've been moser nefesh in order to make the statement, right, that there is Hashem who commands us. We have a king, we have a melech, we are his people. This, I think, is really is the kavana of the Sfas Emes and his son, the Imri Emes, these two pieces over here. It says, "B'mitzvos v'nikdashti b'soch v'nei Yisrael masorat soch avakadei shmi." Right, the Sfas Emes. B'chol makom amrin chay b'hem v'lo shiyamus. Under normal circumstances, we say, "Don't give up your life." V'chay b'hem v'lo shiyamus. Why? Because hold on to your life. That life which Rashi said in Chumash, remember, "V'chay b'hem l'olam haba." Hold on to your life because you can do more mitzvahs, which will bring you to olam haba. We see that when a person is mekayim the mitzvah mesiras nefesh, v'nikdashti, yachol adam l'takin kol ma sheniva ba'avuro. This idea of yesh adam kono olama v'sha'achas, a person could acquire his life, right? In other words, by making the declaration through his action, his willingness to be moser nefesh, that would call Hashem is the mitzavev klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are a people who received tzivuyim, not just an individual mitzvah, but they have a mitzvah, that's the Rabbonu Shalom. And he gave them a system called mitzvos, not one mitzvah, but all the mitzvos. He is their king. A person then has fulfilled the chai behem on the highest level. Because now he's shown that where is real chayim? Not here, there. The mitzvos in this world are a means by which a person achieves the Olam Emes. Or a person gives his life rather than to besmirch Hashem's glory. To even, through an onus, through being forced to be a participant of showing that Hashem doesn't have strength to command his people. That's a person kono olam shavachas. He is fulfilled of a chai b'hem. Not here, but the real chai b'hem there. Again, we have to realize there's two systems, the individual mitzvahs, and then there is the system of our connecting to Hashem as our king. We are a people of mitzvahs, not just the fulfillment of an individual mitzvah. This is what the Imre Emes says as well. He says, "Chora halo k'si v'chai b'hem." Once again, same idea. "Umayin mikdashi b'soch b'nei Yisrael ulam v'chai b'hem ein apirush lichios lichius hateva." When we said v'chai b'hem, your life is more precious. It's not to record your life you can now use, right, for surfing. I have nothing against surfing. That's not the v'chai b'hem we're talking about. The mitzvah is not less precious, right, than a 7-course meal, a 5-star hotel, an all-expense-paid vacation. No, it's not. The Chaim Behem is because this life can be used for the Chaim of Olam Haba. Elalios, lichios, gavoa, yoser, va'adarava, kashem, mevatlim, chiyos, hatevel, and the person is willing to be moser nefesh, like the Maharal said, you become a kadosh. Right? You've shown that, record, that you're a member of the people, and there is a people who are mitzuvim, who are bali mitzvah, from the mitzvah, from the Rabbon Shalom. You're not kadosh, you're mugdal, you're separate, you're marching to the beat of a different drum, you're a higher plane than the rest of this world. And indeed, since you're really willing to forfeit your life, just like Hanan Mishal Vazar, so Hashem does the nace for you. Philip Plain. We'll finish with a story we've mentioned before, from Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, about the Blue Jew of a Rebbe, who's a Chassid of a Kosher of Rochel. He was in a horrible place called Yanovska. And he wanted to arrange that they should be able to be fulfilled with Yom Kippur to one degree or another. And he asked of the capo, who was a Jew, but a non-believing Jew, non-observant, non-believing, obviously what appeared, Jew, if he could arrange for them to not have to work on Yom Kippur. And initially he said this person's name was Snow White. He said, I really should have you shot, but I won't. I'll try and help you. And so the next day, Yom Kippur, he has them come to the officer's mess, the officer's dining room, and there they are, cleaning the floor with a dry cloth, cleaning the windows with dry cloth, etc. You know, they're doing and cleaning, but they're not transgressing Yom Kippur, right, in any fashion that's remotely deraisa. The Torah perhaps is moved altogether. And this he arranged for them. And then all of a sudden, right, in comes an SS officer with a big wagon of food, steaming hot food. They always knew how to torment the Jews, right, in times of Shabbos, Yom Tovim, etc. So here it is, it's Yom Kippur. And he says to the Lushan Rebbe, Rabiner! Es! Eat! Fress! Stuff your mouth. Lujabri says, no, I don't want to. And then he tells him again, Rabiner! Right? Rabbi, eat! No, I don't want to. Now this is a point to ponder, because isn't this where he's trying to get him to transgress the Torah, not for any personal gain? Could be. Or it could be because since the Nazis showed that their real intention was not just to debase the Jews and get them to forfeit their faith. It wouldn't help them forfeit their faith. They were going to kill them anyway. The Jews who weren't observant were also being killed. They wanted to destroy the Jewish people. So it could be where their goal is they wanted to destroy the Jewish people. It could be a new law comes in over here that everything should be forfeited so that the Jewish people should remain intact. And this is something that the Vilna Gaon discusses in context with Megillas Esther, in terms of Esther. Coming willingly to Ahasuerus in order to save the Jewish people. Again, there's a lot of ways to explain it, but anyway, it's an idea. But in any event, the Blizzard verse says no. And then he turns to the Schneeweiss. He says, Schneeweiss, tell the Rabbiner to eat. And Schneeweiss says, today is Yom Kippur, and Jews don't eat Yom Kippur. And SS looks at him. Crazy? You don't believe in this. He says, tell the Rabbiner to eat. And Schneeweiss says again, today's Yom Kippur. Jews don't eat Yom Kippur. This goes back and forth. And he finally says to me, Schneeweiss, you eat! He says, today is Yom Kippur. He's talking about himself. Jews don't eat on Yom Kippur. I'll shoot you. Jews don't eat on Yom Kippur. So the Blushva Rebbe, he said, there he saw in front of his eyes, Yesh Adam Kona Olama B'Sha'achas. He wouldn't allow himself to be a participant in through his non-fulfillment of the mitzvah, albeit he's being forced. He didn't want to be a participant, even in a passive fashion, that showed that we're more powerful than your Creator who gave you these commandments. The commandments are forfeit. Right? No. I will not do that. Jews don't even eat on Yom Kippur. Okay. Be blessed. We share only good news. Once again, Kuvah Shlema to Dvora Bas Erika and Orly Eleanor Bas Natali Nadim. So Shachol Yisrael, we share only good news. Be well. Have a good day.